You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Abby Ryan, an artist. Abby, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Abby has created a career for herself within the art world that's a slightly different paradigm than most artists have used. So I'm going to talk to her a little bit about that. Abby, maybe we should begin with where you went to school. How you first got interested in art, perhaps. When was that?
Well, I studied some art in high school, and I actually didn't go to college for art initially. I started school as a science major, and I always had an interest in art, so I sort of took a roundabout way of getting to it in school, and wound up staying an extra year in college so I could get my BFA in painting. And I was lucky while I was in college. I also was given a scholarship to study at the Art Students League in New York, so I spent some time there as well.
And where did you go to undergraduate school then?
It was at Arcadia University, which is in a suburb of Philadelphia.
And then you went to the Art Students League for a year. How did that work?
It was for a summer, and I studied with a painter, a great painter named David LaFell. It was sort of like an atelier-type model of study, and so that was pretty intense. And, you know, really my first time studying classical painting, which has sort of stuck with me. And, you know, I've studied other things as well, and I went on for my MFA at Hunter in New York, and I didn't really do any painting that's like my daily paintings, but it was still a good experience for me to kind of expand on my commitment to studio practice and my understanding of myself as an artist and all that. So.
And when you got out of school, when you graduated with your MFA, then what happened? Did you have a job at that time, or what did you begin to do?
Well, I should back up maybe and include the fact that before I went for my MFA, I actually started in a medical school program for medical illustration, and that was in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins. And I was there for a little while and realized that I wanted to pursue painting, and so I left that program in medical school and took some time off and got my portfolio together, and then I went to Hunter. So after Hunter, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had done some teaching at Hunter, and so I was kind of interested in that, and I basically spent the summer after that sort of figuring out what I was going to do, and I had some opportunities to teach, which I took advantage of, and I don't know, I sort of was trying to balance wanting to paint and be in my studio with, you know, being able to support myself, purchase health care, pay my loans, pay my rent.
Sure.
And so that's sort of where the blog that I have now.
So let's talk about the birth of that. That came out of the necessity, the financial necessity, you're saying, in essence, or correct me if I'm wrong, of wanting to continue to paint and trying to figure out how to manage that financially?
Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, it's tricky how to explain it because, you know, I started this blog and didn't really know what would come of it. So it sort of came out of a desire just to be in my studio, and I guess with a hope that it might be sort of fruitful enough that I could support myself. And so I had heard about other artists using the internet and, you know, as a way of accessing, you know, art communities and collectors. And so I don't know, I kind of suited my sensibility also. My work has always been very much about ritual, and so having a blog and having sort of this practice where I post a painting every day really kind of suited that, and it works, I think, in terms of kind of a business model, because the people who are looking at my blog are not necessarily all very wealthy. And so by way of making a lot of paintings, I can sell them for a lot less money. And so it kind of works out for everyone.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's just start at the beginning, though. You began making a blog, and the blog was essentially you posting a painting every day and writing a little bit about it?
I started out... The way it happened was I had heard about other artists using a blog, so I thought, you know, maybe I should try that. And so I started a blog in which I posted a painting every day. So I would make a painting and then take a photo of it and post it on my blog while it was still wet. And I wouldn't really write that much about it. I sort of had this idea, an idealized idea, that I would just let the work sort of stand on its own, kind of akin to a gallery wall, you know?
Right.
And there are some painters, daily painters anyway, who, you know, write a lot about what they're painting and explain the process and explain why they painted something, but I've always thought I'm a much better painter than I am writer.
Okay, so you posted a painting every day, and were you active in trying to get followers, or how did people begin looking at your
work? I was initially. I mean, I of course kind of sent out an email announcement saying that this is what I was doing, basically just to friends. And it was around the time that I learned of Facebook also, and so that has proven to be kind of a helpful mode of getting myself out there. But it really was just kind of from word of mouth, by first letting friends know, and then people would tell their friends about it. And, you know, the first time I got a bid for... you know, someone made a bid for a painting on one of my auctions, I was kind of shocked, because it was someone that I didn't know. And so there's always sort of a mystery about selling something online, like, because you don't really know where someone came across it, or, you know, and I feel like my own experience, you know, on the internet, and many people's experience, might be that you just sort of find yourself somewhere eventually, and you're not really ever sure how you got there sometimes.
Right. Okay, so let me back up just to recap. You started the blog. You're posting images every day, sending it out to family and friends, and it's growing. When did you start posting things on eBay as well? Because that's what you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, that's how I started. I did post it on my blog, and then I would create an auction on eBay. And I didn't really have much experience with eBay, and I don't really purchase things, but I'm not really sure why I went that route, and there were certainly times when I thought maybe I would rather just sell the work for a flat price. But there's something about using eBay to me that's interesting, because there's a certain amount of risk that both the artist and the collector are taking, wherein, like, I might post a painting for a starting price of $100 and someone could buy it for $100, or if there are a lot of people who feel connected to it, it might sell for $700. And so there's sort of like a give and take, and kind of a yin and yang to it that I really enjoy.
Right. So when you started posting these on eBay, they were obviously auctions, and they could have gone for as little, they had minimum bids on them, though, right, or no?
Yeah. I mean, I first started out selling the paintings for $59. The auctions would start at $59, and most of them sold for about that much, or under $100 at least.
Okay, so how many sold for under $100? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, before the prices started going higher.
It was probably, I don't know, at least almost a year, maybe. Maybe not quite. Maybe at least 8 or 9 months, I would say, where it was... I mean, I was happy. I, of course, was happy with that. Because I always had sort of as my mentality that anything I could do to keep painting and support my studio work with studio work was important to me, and so it afforded me that. So it was probably about, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, I would say.
Okay, and then what happened? So 8 or 9 months, you're continuing to blog every day, posting a painting every day, and you're posting every one of those paintings on eBay?
I did. I made a point very early on, or maybe a pact with myself, that I was going to post them all.
And what if someone didn't bid on one of them, or they didn't get bids? Would you just repost it again?
Not really. I would just keep it on the blog as available, and then usually somebody would buy it. That didn't really happen to me, though.
Everything would sell.
I've done over like maybe 600 or 700 now, and I don't know. I think I have maybe 4 or 5 or 6 left. Aside from maybe a handful that I kept for myself.
Wow. Okay. So go on. So after 8 months or so of doing this,
you asked about if I posted them all, and I don't know that everyone does that, but I do, because one of the things that I love about my blog and this project that I've been doing, it's been 3.5 years now, and that is that it's kind of like a performance. In a way, because people are involved, you know, people that I don't know, people that I do know, and so there's sort of like an expectation and an interaction in that way that's kind of performative, and so I kind of enjoy that about it, that I might be showing my flaws just as much as I might show my successes or triumph or something.
Right.
And people kind of start to expect it. You know, I get emails from people saying, you know, I didn't see your painting today. What happened? You know, they kind of start to rely on it.
Huh. So, okay, how many blog, how did the, let's talk about after the first year then, the first 8 or 9 months, then what began to change?
I guess what happened is I started getting some press, and it's very hard, I find it's very hard to track. Like I alluded to before, it's hard to track how people find you, but I do remember spending time, you know, sort of looking for blogs or mostly blogs, really, of people who would write about art or artists and, you know, reach out to them to say, hey, you know, take a look at my blog and see what I'm doing and that kind of thing. So I think what happened was I kind of got some press, and that sort
some
of
press
helped
meaning,
grow my mailing list.
Printed press, I'm sorry to interrupt, you mean press meaning printed press and blog notice? Or,
yeah, both.
Or just,
yeah, both.
Both, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say probably that was the biggest part. And I also became involved with other painters in this kind of daily painting community that exists. It's kind of a small community, but it's growing, and I was invited to be in a website called Daily Paintworks, which is a group of 12 painters who kind of have a similar mindset, I guess, about studio practice, and so I think being invited into those sorts of things and being written about by various publications probably helped with that. I would imagine probably that after a year of painting every day, my paintings got better, and so that was possibly
right.
Part of it.
And then you started getting more, the bids began getting higher for them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have statistics about it other than to say that it's been a consistently gradual increase of what most of the paintings sell for. And, you know, sometimes it has to do with the time of year it is. Sometimes it has to do with the particular painting. Sometimes it has to do with what's going on in my life at that time. It's hard to say, but pretty consistently they've sold for more and more each time I make something.
Each year, okay. And so for this last year, I guess the last year you've been working, that's the most successful year. Can you tell me what the roughly, I mean, I know Seth said it in his book, but what is that basically what you're grossing a year? He said it was a little under 100,000. Or
I don't really, I don't know how to answer that other than to say that it's very surprising what has come from this. And paintings sell, it's like I said, it's sometimes, you know, depending on, you know, like right after Christmas, things are kind of quiet and usually I take some time off. And but generally the paintings are for several hundred dollars now, upwards of maybe 800. And they're small, so I can do them pretty quickly.
Right.
Not quickly, but maybe 2 hours.
And so now you're I'm sorry, go on. So now you're making a full-time living from this, though, correct?
It's enough to support myself, luckily. I'm very lucky.
Well, that's very exciting. I mean, it's luckily, but also you've done a lot of work, and you've kept at this for 3 years now, right? You've done a lot of work, too. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should say I'm very fortunate. But, yeah, I mean, I do work very hard. I work very hard. I probably work, I don't know, at least 12 hours, usually 15 hours, 6 days a week, maybe more. So
can you
I work
tell me
a
little bit about that? You know, what does a 12-hour day look like for you? You know, what is your studio practice like? You get up, can you walk us through the day of what your average studio practice day is like, what you do in, let's say, that 12 hours?
Well, I usually really only do one painting a day, and typically the rest of my day is kind of revolves around that moment of being able to get myself to paint. And, you know, I'm pretty set in my practice of doing a painting every day, but it's still, you know, I still have that left brain aspect of, you know, having doubt and fear and procrastination. And so, you know, a lot of my day is kind of getting myself mentally ready to come in and paint. I spend probably 3 hours a day responding to emails. I get a lot of emails from folks wanting to learn about my work and my process and just other things, questions they might have. And I make a point of responding to everyone who writes to me, or at least I try to. So I spend a lot of time on that. And painting is usually 2 or 3 hours on the daily painting. I also have an additional studio practice, which I spend several hours on, which is making works on paper. And then, you know, once I make a painting, the practice of posting it online takes another hour or two. So generally I'll get up at like maybe 6, and sometimes I'll paint in the morning. I find that my peak painting times are either from like 5:30 or 6 in the morning until about 8 a.m. and then again from like 8 at night until midnight or so. And then in between, I try to make sure that I spend some time outside. Usually I go hiking with my dog. But, you know, the practice that I do is really suits me. I mentioned the ritual thing. So I do make sure to, not make sure to pay attention to, but I definitely I'm drawn to that in all aspects of my life. So, you know, I'm always intermittently doing chores. So, like, I'll be doing laundry. I love to hang my laundry out on the clothesline, which is, like, a really time-intensive ritual that I do, at least in the summer. But, you know, it adds up.
Sure. Okay. That's really interesting to hear, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, what you've done with me and the listeners this evening. One last question that I have is just in terms of this as a form for artists to work, which obviously you're saying, you know, there's a group of other daily painters and different people who use the internet in different ways.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say in closing to other artists who are listening to this, thinking about doing a similar practice? Is there something that I don't know, you've learned from this that would help for people to know before beginning something like this?
It's a good question. I guess what I have learned is something I would share, and I share this with my students, and that is that, you know, when you undertake a career as an artist, depending on what happens for you and how it goes, it sort of starts to take on a life of its own and build momentum, and that's all really exciting and validating. And what I've learned, and I try to remind myself this all the time, is that really what's most important, more so than, you know, contacting any kind of newspaper or contacting some writer or someone else who might mention your work, the most important thing is to do the work in your studio and to honor that and be serious about the thing that is driving all of the other things, such as, you know, press and publicity and interviews and, you know, whatever else might happen, videos. But the real important part, which you can't lose sight of, is actually sitting in your chair, sitting down with your paintbrush and spending time kind of working out the problems as an artist, because that's really where the life comes from, and that's really where the inspiration comes from, and that's really what drives the rest of the whole process, and it all goes back to that always.
Abby, thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking with us this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.